plate a potential nugget.
Moving themes, Ravi. I love your take on specialists and generalists as well. You know, I love the quote in your book, "The world needs birds and frogs." But in an uncertain and fast-changing world, birds can find new habitats and food better than frogs. And generalists will probably end up having more opportunities and can adapt to change better. Can you say more about how you see this specialist and generalist question? And also a little bit around how we should think about this over time. Is there the typical paradigm often is diverge and then converge, you know, diverge to build capability and then converge to exploit those capabilities. How do you think about that?
So, of course, this framing of frogs and birds is Freeman Dyson's. But like everything he said and wrote about, I love it. So look, for a long time, again, when the world was stable, it what was valuable was expertise. Okay, and so it rewarded depth, particularly technical depth in any area. When the world is more fluid, okay, and fast changing, that's both not enough and fairly risky, because whatever expertise you have may suddenly not be so valuable. So, for instance, let's say you're an expert and ustad on repairing engines, right? In the world that's rapidly trying to shift to electric vehicles, it could leave you stranded. Okay. So I think what you want to be in this environment is a Swiss Army knife rather than a carving knife or a bread knife or some special purpose knife, because the circumstances and the food sources may change rather suddenly. And so that's the argument I make around generalists versus specialists. But it's not either or so much as, is there a way to integrate both? And I suspect that the answer lies in having somewhat of a T profile, where you have some expertise in some area, and that is what grounds you. That's what, you know, gets you going in your journey. But then on top of that is a horizontal, you know, versatile set of skills. And that probably is the more optimal way of approaching it, is my own sense. Naturally, I've navigated towards being more of a generalist. And even back 30 years ago when I was studying at business school, I didn't choose finance or a particular function. I chose general management, and I've enjoyed general management more than something more specialized all my life. And I think it is in large part that which has enabled me to make so many different transitions over the decades.
It's a great point, Ravi. And to your earlier point about, you know, really the top of the class getting disproportional returns and not having room for mediocrity. So the tension I see is how do you be a Swiss Army knife, but at the same time ensure that you're top of the class of something, you know, and not a me too.
That's the paradox that you need to solve. And in my case, for instance, I find that I'm relatively good. I wouldn't say top of the class, but pretty decent at working with people, aligning people, getting people working behind a common goal. And that turns out to be a pretty valuable skill, because, you know, 100 years from now, it's probably still going to be relevant. So you need to find whatever equivalent of that is for you.
And I think back to your metaphor about the tea, one of the pieces I learned from Linda Grattan, whom you referred to, was she talks about the notion of a pie. You know, and the nuance she says is, if you look at the symbol pi, the mathematical symbol pi, you've got one leg straight and the other leg in the air. So she says one for stability and one to sort of proactively think about the future. And I thought it was quite interesting.
That's a lovely
one's a little bit of a forward-looking hedge, if you will.
Yeah.
This is a really tricky one. In computer science modeling, this is often modeled as the explore-exploit problem. How much do you explore and when do you start exploiting in one place? It's not easy to have a clean answer to the question. The big discovery for me is that insights might come in a blind spot when people see us in dimensions that are orthogonal to how we see ourselves. In my work with leaders, I find that they often struggle with keeping the identity loose as they go through life. For instance, photographer Atul Kasbekar talks about how he got the feedback that he's a trusted player in the industry that led him to pivot towards producing movies.
You know, I have a friend who's a spiritual guide. He lives in Bangalore, and he was saying that I think it's an excellent space for you, because what you may not see is but what he sees, and it actually turned out to be quite true. He's saying, you know, you're actually a very habitable platform for people who otherwise would never meet each other to be pulled onto and to coexist and work in a harmonious way and be able to create.
Back to what Ravi says, the key is to be agile without necessarily losing the career capital we've built till date. And that's not an easy problem to solve. The two themes that come to mind that might help us here are heightened self-awareness, both internal and external self-awareness. And second is loosening our grip with our identities. If you want to learn more about self-awareness, do tune into the conversation with Tasha Urich, which is a masterclass on how we think about internal and external self-awareness. And you might also find the curated playlists on identity and self-awareness relevant if you want to dig deeper on any of these subjects. Thank you for listening.